Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Can practical technology help reduce harmful emissions today instead of decades from now? On this episode of This Week in America, inventor, engineer, entrepreneur, patent attorney, lifelong tinkerer, and author Don Owens discusses his book, Burn Fuel Better, From Helpless to Hopeful in the Race Against Climate Change. After years of developing hydrogen-related engine technologies, he says an unexpected discovery led to a new approach for reducing black carbon emissions from fuel-burning engines. He explains why he believes black carbon deserves greater public attention, how cleaner combustion technology may reduce harmful emissions, and why innovation can complement broader efforts to address climate change. Owens also shares his remarkable career journey from engineering and patent law to earning 19 patents, working with organizations including General Motors, Bell Labs, and the U.S. Census Bureau, and developing technologies tested in EPA-approved laboratories. A conversation offering an engaging look at one inventor's vision for a cleaner future. The key to saving our planet is here. Our guest, Don Owens, author of Burn Fuel Better, From Helpless to Hopeful, and the Race Against Climate Change. Don, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it very much.
Looking forward to our conversation today. I said lifelong tinkerer because, and that's meant as a compliment. It's because you were tinkering. You came up with this discovery. Talk about how you came up with this, because it wasn't something you sat down intentionally to do, did it? It just came up as you were tinkering.
That's right. Exactly. That's exactly right. In fact, when I first started working with hydrogen, my objective was to build a little device, because I had read about this little device that it could save gas on my car. So I started building this little device, and it did save a little bit of gas. And I took it to an engine testing lab just to make sure what I was seeing was real. And once I got to this engine testing lab, I couldn't get any consistent results on gasoline engines, so I ended up trying it with diesel engines. And when I tried it with diesel engines, the gas or the diesel mileage was still not that great. But and I was really actually ready to throw in the towel. And the technician that worked at this engine testing lab came to me and said, "Hey, listen, by the way, do you know this thing reduced your particulate matter emissions by almost 50%? And my response was, "Well, what's particulate matter?" I didn't know what it was. And it wasn't until I went home that evening I found that particulate matter was very harmful to human health. And then years later, I found that the particulate matter was the main component was black carbon. And black carbon, most people have never heard of black carbon. They've heard of CO2, but they've never heard of black carbon. Black carbon is actually 1,500 times worse for the environment than CO2. Now, if you notice, I didn't say one or two times worse. I said 1,500 times worse. And it wasn't until I discovered black carbon that I realized that that little device that I had that could save a little bit of gas and would also reduce the particulate matter could reduce our emissions from engine burning, from engines that burn fuel by 50%. Now, 50% is not nearly as good as 100%. But 50% is better than zero. This black carbon is very, very, very devastating. It coats the glaciers, causes them to melt. It gets into the atmosphere, causes the atmosphere to heat up. And we see the evidence of it everywhere.
Why have we not heard about black carbon? CO2 we hear about all the time. We think that's the culprit. That's the one that we blame. And now I'm reading black carbon. Did a little research and reading the book and putting this all together. This really is the main culprit here. Why have we not heard anything about it up to this point?
You know, I really don't know. In fact, I didn't hear of black carbon either. It wasn't until I did, I was doing some research on particulate matter, because once I discovered that we reduced particulate matter by 50%, I was looking at everything related to particulate matter. And one day when I was just kind of searching around on various articles, I ran across black carbon. And so it was accidental to me also. So most people there are a lot of people, scientists, that have heard of it, but most regular people have never heard of it. But then when I realized that it was the culprit that coats the glaciers, causes the glaciers to melt. When you have melting glaciers, you have all kinds of issues with climate change. You have sea level rise. You have a whole bunch of stuff. And black carbon was the direct culprit for that. And it dawned on me then that we actually reduced black carbon, because we reduced particulate matter, by almost 50%. So it wasn't until then that I realized that maybe, just maybe, we had something that we can use to fight against climate change. Because, you know, as you know, climate change is such a mind-blowing big problem that most people don't think we can do anything about it. You know, we know we're not going to stop burning fuel, because we have to be comfortable, and we have to be, because that's the way our society works.
Yes.
You know, you can't be in Florida in the summertime without air conditioning.
Year round. In fact, the business to be in Florida is air conditioning repair. Yeah. You see their trucks out constantly, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to make sure that it's running properly. Our guest on the program is Don Owens. His book is Burn Fuel Better. His website, name of the book, burnfuelbetter.com. Look on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. What does black carbon is the enemy of the planet mean? I mean, that's not just a slogan, is it? It's much more than that. It's a warning.
Yes, it's a warning. And in fact, it's what I would like all humanity to know and be aware of. Now, and the reason why I say it, because if all of us have seen movies, and we've seen movies where the aliens come in, attack the Earth, and all society get together to fight the aliens, no matter what the geopolitical nature was, we all collectively got together to fight the enemy. And so we have history, even though it's just, you know, movie history, but we have history of being able to collectively get together to fight an enemy. But right now, we don't know who the enemy is. I mean, when you say climate change, that's too vague, you know, and you don't really know what you can do about climate change. But black carbon is truly the enemy of the planet. It is truly an enemy, and we can point to it, and we can do something about it. And that's why we want the main thing I want from this book is just the acknowledgement for human beings to realize that there is an enemy. We can point to the enemy, and we can fight the enemy. And because when we know that, we can beat the enemy. But until we even know that the enemy exists, we can't do anything. But so the main point of this book is to point out the fact that black carbon is indeed the enemy of the planet. And once we all recognize that, and anybody that kind of has a feeling for our planet, then we can start collectively figuring out a way we can beat black carbon.
Can you eliminate black carbon?
Well, we can't eliminate it, at least not now. But see, the thing that I love about humanity is that we can do anything we want when we put our minds to it. But right now, we can cut it by 50%. But once our collective minds get together and realize that it truly is one of the devastating parts of climate change, one of the devastating, I mean, you know, you see these glaciers that's supposed to be white with snow and they're all black, that's black carbon, and it's causing them to melt. So these things we can see now, and because we can see it, and we can identify black carbon as the enemy, and once humanity decides to do something, right now it can be 50%, maybe 10 years from now it can be 75%, maybe, you know, 20 years from now it can be 100%. But the objective will be to cut it out, period. But we can start where we can start, which is reducing it by 50%.
Don Owens, our guest on the program. The book is Burn Fuel Better, available wherever books are sold. I'll direct you, of course, to Amazon, Don's website, burnfuelbetter.com. You talk about, and you're very realistic as you're talking about climate change and global warming being a perilous state, a ticking time bomb. Talk about that, because we keep hearing it. We've heard that for years, yet we don't seem to really address the problem. Is it the enormity of the problem that causes us to sort of accept and hope it doesn't really get any worse?
Yeah, the enormity of the problem is a problem. It is, I mean, indeed, When you start thinking about trying to fix climate change, who can possibly fix that? And particularly if you start talking about fuel, because I remember being in Las Vegas a few years ago, on the inside in the air conditioning room, our room, and was happy that the air conditioner was working, and I didn't care if it was coal burning outside to produce the air conditioner, because we need what we need, and we want to be comfortable, and we have to be comfortable. So we're going to be burning fuel, but as we move down the road, we are beginning to see more and more evidence of climate change. And at first, 5 or 10 years from now, 5 or 10 years ago, it wasn't as evident. Now you can see how some of the storms are getting stronger. You can see how, like for example, in Europe, I think it was maybe a couple of weeks ago, everything was hot. The temperature was extremely high, and people were dying all over the place. I know in San Diego, most of the people down there don't have air conditioning because years ago they didn't really need it. Now everybody needs it. So we're beginning to experience climate change a little bit more. So it's not as much of a fallacy. I mean, some people used to say that there's no such thing as climate change, but we're beginning to see evidence of it, and more people are seeing evidence of it. You can go down to Miami and you can start seeing how sea level rise is beginning to address some of those levels down at near the ocean. So we're seeing it more, and now that we are seeing it more, people are beginning to realize that it is a problem, and it's still the enormity of it is still an issue, because we don't know what we can do. But part of this book, and the reason why I call it from helpless to hopeful, is that normally we would feel helpless. I mean, what can you possibly do against climate change? But if you do know that there is potentially a solution, and I say potentially, because it's still going to require quite a bit of organization, quite a bit of collective efforts of all humanity. But if we do get that, and people do recognize that black carbon is indeed the enemy of the planet, and we can beat it, we have a shot at helping us and helping ourselves to help the planet. And so that's where that hopefulness comes in, because until we even recognize that there was something we can do, we just are thinking we can't do anything. But there is something we can do, and black carbon is a target. Now, of course, there are other things that relate to climate issues, but black carbon, like I said, everybody's heard of CO2. Scientists know that black carbon is 1,500 times worse. And again, I always like to emphasize, I didn't say 2 or 3 times worse. I said 1,500. So eliminating black carbon will be one very, very, very big move in the direction of helping to address climate change.
Do we look too often for a remedy without sacrifice? We know what the problems are, but we don't want to give up, the automobile that we have, the air conditioning that we have, whether we're in Las Vegas or Miami or where. Those are the comforts that we want. We do not want to sacrifice to get to that point. Is that part of the problem in addressing this?
Well, I wouldn't say that's part of the problem, because that's the reality. I mean, we are human beings.
Yes.
And, and comfort is key.
Exactly.
I mean, it would be nice if we could sacrifice something, but like I said, when you're sitting in a very, very hot room, the only thing you can think about is it not being hot, so I don't know if it's so much that we're not willing to sacrifice, but we really don't know what to do. But like, for example, I drive a car that burns fuel right now. But, I can use devices like what I have, and if there was a policy for it, we can give incentives for the industry, for government, for everybody to do something about just reducing black carbon. You have to have something you can point at. And that's why the thing about black carbon that's real is that it is something that's really harming the planet. You know, now of course there are plastic is harming the planet. There's a lot of things that are harming the planet, but we can very well point to one thing, which is black carbon, and we know where it comes from. We know it comes from burning fuel, but we also know that if you have hydrogen, and if you mix hydrogen with any fuel that you burn, you can reduce those emissions by 50%. So, and you can get hydrogen for free. I mean, you can get it right out of the air if you needed to, but we get it from water right now. And I mean, when I say you get it out of the air, you can get water right out of the air. But we split hydrogen into hydrogen and oxygen, and we blend it in with the regular fuel that you're burning anyway, and it reduces the emissions. And it does it in spite of yourself. You can't, you know, that's just the way hydrogen works.
Yes.
You know.
What kind of response are you getting? Just the average person hearing black carbon for the first time and understanding maybe there is something that we can do, or the scientific community that's like, that's an interesting approach. Maybe this will work. What kind of response are you getting? Let's talk with the scientific community. What kind of response are you getting from them?
Well, you know, the scientific community already knows. They already know about black carbon, you know, but in general, it's the regular people that inhabit the planet that have never heard of it. And in fact, the reason I'm going to tell you how I ended up writing this book. I was telling somebody about black carbon and how bad it was and how horrible it was once I realized it, you know, because I when I discovered it, it was a shocking discovery to me, because black carbon was there. And I knew we reduced it by 50%. And I was telling somebody that, a group of friends, and this lady that was in the crowd said, you know, Don, you need to write a book. I said, write a book? I don't know how to write a book. But I was so passionate about the fact that I discovered black carbon. What I wanted and what she wanted and what she wanted me to do was tell people about black carbon, you know, because people don't know about it. And they still don't know about it. Like I said, the scientific community knows everything about it. But the scientific community isn't exposed to, I mean, you know, most people aren't exposed enough to what the scientific community is aware of. But so the objective with the book is really to expose the fact that black carbon and it being the enemy of the planet to regular human beings that care about the planet. Because if you do care about the planet and you know it, now you still don't know what you can do. But if you are aware of the fact that we can just burn our fuel better, that might be something we can do. You know, I don't have to necessarily not be in an air-conditioned house, you know.
You know? Exactly.
Have my refrigerator running and freezers, you know, I still need all of that.
Yes.
But if I can burn my fuel better, just by, you know, by something that somebody else invents, or somebody else helps us to organize it throughout the industry, throughout every single solitary engine that burns fuel, then we can reduce black carbon without doing anything other than burning our fuel better, you know. And again, that knowledge of how you can help with climate change, that knowledge of eliminating black carbon will help in the direction of, hey, maybe we can collectively get together and start burning our fuel better, because we have to. We're going to be burning fuel for a long time. You know, anybody that says hydrogen fuel is going to be on the horizon in the next 5, 10, 15 years, they don't know what they're talking about. It's never going to happen. And there are certain things that you just can't turn off. There are certain kinds of engines that are always going to be burning fuel. Those cargo ships, those big cruise ships, they will always burn fuel. They're not going to be running off of electric battery, you know. So, but they can burn it better. They don't have to burn it as slow and create as much emissions as we're doing now. We can cut it in half. And so, and we can cut it in half without having to transition to brand new engines. You can do it just by mixing a little bit of hydrogen into the air intake of the engine. And the next thing you know, you're burning your fuel better. You're saving fuel. You can save anywhere from 15 to 20%, and you're reducing your emissions and black carbon.
You know, it almost sounds impossible to believe, almost too good to believe, but it's there. You've seen it work, and you've seen that we can make these changes a lot quicker than, you know, decades, maybe even centuries to try to rectify this.
Right. Well, in fact, it is, and I didn't discover this on my own. I mean, I wasn't the person that found out that you can split water up into hydrogen, oxygen, and you can mix it. A lot of people know about it. But I didn't know, even though I knew about it, the fact that you can do it. My objective when I found out about it was to save fuel. I didn't know anything about black carbon. And it wasn't until I read this article somewhere deep down in the middle of somewhere that I read that black carbon was 1,500 times worse than CO2. Now, most people, like I said, just about everybody's heard of CO2.
Yes.
But black carbon, nobody's heard of black carbon. But if people are aware of it, and again, the problem is still humongous. But if we can focus on the fact that we do know it exists, and we do know we can burn fuel better just with hydrogen, and hydrogen is easy to come by, we might be able to do something about that black carbon. Because if we don't do anything about it, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse.
And nobody
can deny that. It's just going to get worse and worse. But we can slow it down, and that will be the objective. Initially, it's just to slow it down, perhaps. But what will happen is once humans and their infinite creativity get involved in anything, the sky's the limit on what can happen with it. We can very well, in 10 years, 20, 30, 30, 40, 50 years, eliminate it totally. I don't know. But we do have to do something. And anybody that likes the planet and doesn't necessarily want to move to Mars, we'll know that we got to do something.
You know, if somebody says climate change, it's too big for one person to make a difference. I'm not a scientist. I understand what's being said, but I don't know how we go about doing something to correct that. What's your response? Because you really are appealing to all of us to understand this and to carry this message through.
Yeah, well, the thing is, there's two things that people don't know. Number one, they don't know about black carbon. They do know about climate change. They know it's a problem. And they don't know that hydrogen, which is the fuel of the future. You know, most people, when you think about hydrogen, it's billed as the fuel of the future. There are no emissions with hydrogen. Once it's in place, it will have no emissions whatsoever. But what people don't know now is that the fuel of the future can be used in the present. And that's, you know, everybody thinks of hydrogen as the fuel of the future, but it can also be the fuel of the present, because what it does with existing fuels is that it cuts down the emissions by half. It cuts down the harmful, bad emissions in half right now, today. Now, again, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that everybody's going to go out and get a device like I made on their cars so they can do it, because it's still, you know, people really don't know what's going to happen in terms of how they can directly affect things. But if, as a policy, you know, if we get government involved, we get industry involved, we get all the people that care about the planet, as a policy, we start thinking about what we can do against black carbon. Because everybody that's in the scientific community, they know about black carbon. They know how harmful it is. They're looking at the glaciers. They're looking at things the kinds of problems that it causes. They're looking at the fact that it's heating up. It heats up the atmosphere so much warmer, you know. So they also know that when you eliminate it out of the sky, because it only has a life of 4 or 5 days, but when once you eliminate it, you can see better. You can see how things can improve relatively quickly. But we make so much of it that, you know, that we're not seeing any improvement even when it rains. After it rains, for example, all the black carbon is out of the sky, but it's going to reaccumulate. Okay.
So, oh, yes.
But if we start to think about the fact that it does exist, and again, my biggest thing right now is to let people know that it exists. Most people don't know it exists. Most people don't know the devastating effects of it, but it exists and it is very devastating. And they also don't know that a small amount of hydrogen, when added with regular fuel, can cut it in half. And if the automobile industry, I mean, because they can develop things that are much, much better than what I developed. They can develop it with a device that can probably be as small as eyeglasses. Because all we really are trying to do is make hydrogen, make enough hydrogen. Because you don't even with hydrogen, you don't have to have a lot of it. You know, hydrogen has such an explosive nature. It burns so much faster than regular fuel that when you mix it with regular fuel, it makes the regular fuel burn faster. And it burns faster in the combustion chamber, it's less particulate matter, less unburned fuel that comes out. And that's, in essence, what particulate matter is. It's just unburned fuel.
Yes.
Fuel that is not burned. And so that hydrogen can do such a huge thing to help burn the fuel better. And but if we as a society do what we would need to do to recognize that, because hydrogen is very easy to come by in terms of, you know, splitting water and, you know, grabbing it from water.
Yes.
Then we potentially have the ability to reduce that climate change problem. And like I said, and once human beings kind of get it in their minds, you know, we can eliminate it. You know, there's going to be somebody that's going to come along after me, maybe well after me, that's going to come up with a better idea of how we can blend hydrogen with fuels. And when they do, it's going to be even, they're going to reduce it 70% and then 80% and eventually 100%.
Well, hopefully.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, just because hopefully there'll be a tinkerer that comes along after you that will go to work on the project. And this book is so well written, and it's broken down where we can understand it. We have a new term there, black carbon, that is something that we really need to be aware of. The book is Burn Fuel Better, and I love the subtitle, From Helpless to Hopeful. The author, Don Owens, our guest on the program, his website is burnfuelbetter.com. Book available, again, wherever books are sold. Link to his website on our website. Don, it's a pleasure. Time has gone by way too quickly. So much more we can talk about. What an exciting discovery that you had. I would say evolved into something that really could make climate change doable, stopping it, to reducing the effects of that. Thank you so much for being with us on the program.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it very much.
It has been a pleasure. I'd like to thank Inks and Bindings, who arranged our conversation today. They're set to broaden horizons, revamp to perfection, and produce a masterpiece through the power of books. Inks and Bindings is a premier self-publishing company located at the heart of the Golden State, aptly based where fashion, entertainment, and culture thrive. The team goes all out in bringing together independent authors into the sweet California spotlight. Like they did on our program today, their website is inksandbindings.com. Again, the name of the book by Don Owens is Burn Fuel Better. That's his website as well. All the information on our website. You can listen to our interview with Don and so many more on 28 podcast platforms, including Apple, Spotify, iHeart, Odyssey, Audible, Google. Find us on YouTube as well. While you're there, be sure to like and to subscribe.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.